Well, once again, God has blessed us to be at this place. That song we just got through singing is a song that really ought to be a song that we sing every single day. This is my story. My story is that Jesus came and died on a cross that I might have the right to the tree of life. And you know, and I'm learning that when we really understand who we are, we can change the world in which we live in, and we're going to do that one individual at a time. It's good to see everyone this morning. It's no accident that you're here. If someone invited you to come here, or if you've come home, you're here because God's providence works in our everyday life. I don't believe anything is an accident. Nope. When I have a car accident, that's no accident. That's God's providence. And within that providence, the question is, what is God trying to tell us? Most of the time, we're so busy worried about the physical man that we forget to just say, thank you, Lord, I'm still here. Amen. You know, and so I'm learning that somewhere down the line, when we really understand the power that God has in our everyday life, life will take on a totally different meaning. And so those of you that are visiting this morning, I hope and pray something can be said that'll cause you to think about your soul's salvation. You know, there's a passage of scripture we quote all the time. John chapter 3, verse 16. You know that by heart, right? Come on, y'all, work with me this morning. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, and God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Paul echoes what Jesus said in John chapter 3. And he said in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated how much he loved humanity, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. And church, that's what drives me. That's what motivates me to know that the God of heaven could look down the court of time and see that I needed somebody to help me out in my everyday life. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and following, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked men, who do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus turned to his disciples and said, but who do you say that I am? Peter says that thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and up on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church, ecclesia, called out believers. And so I want to encourage you this morning as we look at this lesson that we'll be taking out of Ephesians chapter 4 as we deal with and talk about the unity of the Spirit. We have a meeting coming up at the end of the month that deals with unity in the household. Oh, and I'm looking forward to that. And you know why? Because until we get unity within ourselves, you can forget about the household. Amen. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15, as for me. See, until you get right, you can forget about the household. That don't cost you nothing. That's just something that that's free this morning. But in this text here, the Apostle Paul writes these words to the church at Ephesus. And he writes these words to encourage them and to remind them of who they are and the purpose that they have been saved. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, Paul says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. He says, I beseech you, I beg you, now that you are in Christ Jesus, Paul says, it's time for you to walk worthy of your calling. Jesus said, many are called, but only a few are chosen. And I don't know about you, I plan to be one of the chosen ones because I plan to do what thus saith the Lord. Do that mean I do everything right? Nope. But I understand what I need to do to get on the right track. And so Paul says, as a prisoner of the Lord, he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring. And that word endeavoring right there is a very interesting word, because that word endeavoring there means to try harder, to do your very best. You ought to be all that God would have you to be, because if he's in your life, what can stop you from doing the will of the Father? And church, and I'm learning, the more you surrender your will to the will of the Father, the more God is able to use you in his everyday life. The title of the lesson this morning, don't get caught up with the world, but be caught up with the Spirit. Don't get caught up with the world, but be caught up with the Spirit. And I'm learning the only way you can be caught up with the Spirit is you got to do what thus saith the Lord. In Matthew chapter 16, that passage I just read to you, the Bible says Jesus established his church, and it was established how? On the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1 and round about verse number 1. The Bible says, the former treaties I wrote unto you, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And I'm learning, in order for you to teach, you got to be doing something, you know. And I'm learning, if you ain't doing it, you sure ain't teaching it. Is that the proper English? If not, amen. Anyway, somewhere down the line, as God's people, we must become doers. James chapter 2 and round about verse number 14. James says, be ye doers of the word. Why? Because if you're a doer of the work, you won't fall into condemnation. And so this morning, as we look at a lesson, I want to encourage you, don't get caught up in the world, but be caught up with the Spirit of God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. They're not of the Father, but they are of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Church, I've tried everything else. And you know what? It just don't work. You can only have so much money. Well, I ain't never had too much money, but but does it mean you have to have a lot or a little to do? See, we measure happiness in the wrong areas. See, we measure happiness by the things we possess, by the how we can take whatever we need to do. See, we spend lots of time and money on toys to make us happy. But I'm learning that if you really want to be happy, you better be in the Lord. That's why the psalmist said in Psalms 122 and verse number 1, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, see, you ought to be happy to be here this morning. Amen. Huh? Are you happy to be here? Well, tell somebody how happy you are. I know. You ought to be happy to be here. You know why? Because God has blessed us to see another day on this time side of life. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm learning that when you come into the house of the Lord, it's easy to get bogged down. That's why when I walk through those doors, I take off the cares of the world. You know, phone bill, light bill, the bill is old. I lead all that mess at home. Why? I come but for one purpose, and that's to glorify and to magnify the God of heaven. And I'm learning, church, that when you can come here and do that on the first day of the week, you can do that Monday through Saturday. Amen. It's a mindset. And I'm learning, in order to really do that, you have to take off the cares of this world. That's why John said, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. But see, we ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. And those of us who have obeyed the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, and have been added to the body of Christ, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 22. Those of us who have went into this watery grave, church, we ought to have a totally different mindset than the world. Why? Why should we have a different mindset? I'm still flesh and blood, but you know what? This thing here got to change. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, Jesus set the standard. Paul reminded the believer, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being God himself, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But Jesus did something that we have a hard time doing. The Bible said he humbled himself. And I'm learning that when you learn how to humble yourself before your creator, you'll take care of everything else. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Satan out to get you. And if you're sitting here this morning and he's already got you, I just stopped by to tell you this morning, he don't have no power over you. All you have to do is repent of your sin and start doing the will of the Father. Boy, what an awesome God I serve. You serve him too, but boy, God is so good. When a man can mess up like I messed up, I got any witnesses in here? That's what I'm talking about. And God is able to forgive me and then allow me the opportunity to proclaim his word. Church, I can't talk enough about how good God is. Oh, family is healthy. I'm healthy. And I'm free because my freedom is not in America. I better say that again because I know some of us sitting here are confused. Your freedom is not because of America. Your freedom is because you've obeyed from the heart, the gospel, and you've come up out of this watery grave. And as long as you stay in the word of God, guess what? You'll be free. I'm learning that shackles don't bound a man. I'm learning that bars don't bound a man. A man is bound when he's bound up here. And I'm learning. Jesus said in John chapter 6, chapter 8, around about verse number 31. See, the Jews had some of the same problems that we had. And Jesus said to them, unless you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth which will set you free. Well, what truths do I need to know? That you came and died on a cross because the God of heaven saw that he made man. Man messed up. He repented that he made man, but he made a way back to him through... I know what my Bible says. Genesis chapter 3 and round about verse 1, when God came in the midst of Adam and Eve, he asked Adam, and the same question I'm going to ask you in a few minutes. 40 days into the new year, God asked Adam a question. My question to you, where are you? You see, every child sitting up in here going to have to answer that question. Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid. And God said, well, Adam, why were you afraid? He said, I was naked and I hid myself from you. And God said, well, who told you you were naked? See, I'm learning, church, that when you hear the voice of Jesus, he can make the difference in our lives. And for those of you that are visiting this morning, I want to encourage you to stop and think about your soul salvation. No accident that you're here. This is God's providence working in your life. And the question is, will you listen to God through his manservant or will you reject him? See, I'm learning we need to be filled with the Spirit. And the reason we need to be filled with the Spirit, because we got something that the world can have that don't have. Let me show you. Romans chapter 8 and round about verse number 1. Church, that's the reason why when it's come time for me to do the will of the Father, and even when I mess up, I know I serve a God that is able to forgive me and allow me to go right back to where I have fallen from. Paul says in this chapter, verse number 1, there is therefore no condemnation. Boy, if God don't condemn me, I don't care how much you did. It means absolutely nothing. Paul says, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk now after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. That's why, church, when you do something that you ain't supposed to do and you don't repent, you know something? You're bound. You're bound until you repent of that sin. God can't use you the way he wants to use you. I'm learning that in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation in him. Electronics, huh? Verse number 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do not do the mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the flesh, I'll get it right here in a minute, after the Spirit, do the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Anybody in here want some peace? Huh? Ask yourself a question. Which spirit really guides you? Because if you're guided by the Spirit of God, Paul says there's no condemnation to you. If you're guided by the Spirit of God, nothing or no one can hinder you but yourself. Look at what he says in verse number 7. Because the carnal minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. So then they that are after the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he shall raise up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. And that word quicken there means alive. That's why when I come to the Lord's house and why I'm talking about the word of God, boy, I'm alive. Amen. I don't sit here like Rover. You know, some of us sitting here like Rover. Dead all over. No, when I come to the house of the Lord, I got a testimony. I got something to say. If you wasn't here for Bible class, you probably missed it. I had a moment Wednesday. Amen. I had a moment. Now, I know you're saying, well, preachers, and I said, well, yes, I do. Because I'm learning that when you deal with people, you're going to always have some kind of issue. But it wasn't, it reminds me of the psalmist. The psalmist had a problem. He said, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked and how they lived, I became envious. It's in your Bible. You go read it. It wasn't until I went into the house of the Lord did I remember the wicked has no say-so over me. Church, I'm learning that, you know, when I have moments, I can draw my strength from the word of God. And that's why it's so important as brothers and sisters, we hang out with one another. You hang out with everything else, huh? Come on, y'all. You hang out with everything else. Some of your best friend is on your job. Ought not to be. My best friend is those that have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ that are trying to live up to what they said. Those are. And I'm learning that when we hang out with one another, it ain't difficult to stay on the right track. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. Amen. When you look out for me and I look out for you, Satan does not stand a chance. Don't be caught up in the cares of the world, but be caught up with the Spirit of God. For the next few minutes, I want to draw your attention to an individual. And when I look at this individual, boy, I have to remind myself how easy it is to get caught up. You know, sometimes we're so busy making a living. Amen, Walls. We don't even know how to live anymore. Sometimes we are so fixated with stuff that we forget who's really in control of everything. Sometimes we are so fixated with death. Amen, Walls. That we stop living. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm only fixated on one thing, and that's making heaven my home. And I know how to get there. I know how to get to hell. I sure do. Don't need no help. I don't need no help in how to get there, but I need your help if I'm going to make heaven my home. That's why, church, when it's time to assemble with the body of Christ ought to come together, because when I'm down, you ought to be up. And vice versa. Why? Because when we members one of another and we look out for one another, Satan does not stand a chance. 40 days into the new year, where are you at? And you know, and you're going to have to answer this, you know, because when you stand before his judgment seat and he says, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was shut in and in prison, did you visit me? Don't be like the disciples, because the disciples, they saw Jesus. They walked with Jesus. And they said, Lord, when did we see you like that? And Jesus says, when you've done it to the least of my disciples, you've done it unto me. And you know, this morning, as I was on my way here early this morning, I met a lady at McDonald's. And she said she just got out of the hospital and she was just walking the streets. And I said, well, come on, let me treat you to a cup of coffee and I'll do whatever I can. I'm learning that people come our way to test whether or not we are truly living up to what we say we are. You know, I'm sorry, church, we're so busy doing our thing that when it's time, kingdom business, not y'all, but it might be y'all. I better look at the wall because y'all, some of y'all looking at me pretty mad. But I'm learning you're supposed to put your life on hold. He put his on hold. And he said, I lay it down and I have the authority to take it up. And if he died on a cross for you, you can't give him some of the most precious thing on earth. And guess what? All of us have the same amount of time. All of us, whether you live 10 years, 20 years, or 100 years, we all have the same time. And if there's ever been a time that you and I need to really look at where we're at, I want to challenge you. This individual I want to look at, he was so caught up in the cares of this world that God called him a fool. And I know what the Bible says. The Bible says, call no man no man fool upon the earth. I guess though when God calls you a fool, you must be a fool. I'm gonna show you what the text says. Because in this text here, it shows you and I and how easy it is to get caught up in the cares of the world. How easy it is to be so fixated on physical health. How easy it is to be fixated on the things you possess and what you have. This individual here shows me. And I want to show you this morning that this individual here, he didn't stop and think about God. You know, sometimes we only think about God when we're flat on our back looking in his face and you ain't got nothing else to do. You can close your eyes and he's still there. But I want to show you this individual here. Jesus tells this parable to the Sadducees, to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And he tells this parable because they really don't understand what Jesus requires of them. But in this text here, Jesus talks about this individual that is so caught up that he doesn't realize that death is knocking on his door. How many of us are like that? We're so caught up making a living that we don't realize you can be gone faster than that. And I want to show you something. And I'm learning. It's best that we don't know the truth. Those of us who have obeyed from the heart of the gospel, Peter says it's best you don't know the truth than to know it and turn from it. Church, that's why I can't help myself. I got to tell it like it is, and I'm going to stay with the Lord because you ain't got a heaven or hell to send me to. Now, but look at this then. Luke chapter 12, around about verse number 16. The Bible says, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Boy, 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 wouldn't you like to have that? Put that $2 in the bank and it gives you $1,000. Okay, yeah. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But I want to show you this individual. The Bible said, the ground of this rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no more room where to bestow my goods. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build graters. And I will bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you tell me that ain't you. Come on now, you got a loaf of bread under both arms, grits in the pantry, a couple of dollars. Tell me you don't feel like this man. Boy, what else can I do to get some more? This individual here, he's caught up in the world and don't understand that death is knocking on his door. The Bible says, he said unto my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thy ease. That sounds like retirement time there. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse number 20. But God said, thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou have provided? So is he that lay up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Very powerful text. Because here is, he's no different than you and I. Sometimes, church, we get so caught up in what we're doing that we forget who gave us that opportunity. Sometimes we forget that when we educate ourselves or we get good training in certain jobs that we did it. No, it was the God of heaven that afforded us everything we do in life. And sometimes we don't give him the credit that's due here. This individual here, the Bible said he thought within himself, man, I done did it. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. But the Bible said God called him a fool because he spent more time in the physical and not really giving God the credit that is due him. Church, many times we're so busy making a living, and I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your time. God requires your time. He don't need your money. He says, I own the heels of 1,000 cattle. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you. So you think God needs your money? He don't look at your money. No, he wants your time. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you the world is mine and the fullness thereof. I know every hair on your head. I know every drop of sand on the sea. You think God needs you? Oh, no, we need him. And so let's not get caught up in the cares of this world, but let us recognize the God of heaven. Couple quick points. Message is yours. Don't get caught up. Remember who you are from the Lion King. Have we forgotten who we are? We went in a watery grave. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have forgiveness through his blood. Church, remember that we are God's chosen people. And don't forget, as you make a living, that you get so caught up and tied up with the world that you forget that God has given you life for one purpose. And that's to magnify and to glorify his holy and divine name. And I'm learning the only way you're going to do this of what I'm talking about is not getting caught up. You got to understand who you are and where you come from. And then you got to constantly look forward to the day which he's going to close your eye. Every single body up in here is going to be stretched out one day. Well, maybe not. He might come before then. He says there'll be two of you in the field. One will be taken. The other one will be left. Well, that sounds some scary stuff there. So if people start rising and you still here, better ask yourself a question. What happened? But here, Philippians chapter 3, and round about verse number 13, Paul says, brethren, I count myself as apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then verse number 15, Paul says, let us therefore as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. If anything otherwise minded, God shall even reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, Paul says, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rules. What does that mean? The rules that go for the preacher is the rule that go for you. If I got to be here on time and I got to be here every day of the first day of the week, so do you. If I got to be here at Bible class, ready to study my Bible, ready to teach class, guess what? So do you. You know that old cliche, was good for the goose? Mm-hmm, yeah, I know you know that. God requires each and every one of us. He says, nevertheless, whereunto let us all already obtained, let us walk by the same rules, let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which so walk as you have us as an example. We need any examples today? Not taking anything from individuals that have passed on, but my example is Jesus Christ. My loyalty is to Jesus Christ. Why? Because everybody else can just take me to the grave. I need somebody that can take me beyond the grave. And the only person I know that can do that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So don't get caught up in the world. Learn and understand, church, this race that we're running will give you a victory if you can run it and run it to completion. You know, sometimes we start projects. Anybody in here start projects and never finish them? Yeah. I got a house full of them. Come and see them. Hey, I can be honest with me. I don't know about you, but I'm learning, church. There is one project that I'm running that I know good and well I'm going to complete it. And that project is to run this race on this time side of life that when I die, he says, Stan, you did a good job. Enter into the kingdom. I want to encourage you that as you run this Christian race, run it with some endurance and understand what you're doing. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24, Paul says, know you not. Yes, I know. I know that in running this Christian race, I'm going to have some trials. I'm going to have some tribulation. I know running this Christian race, not everyone wants to run it with me. And you know what? I'm learning that even in the body of Christ, half of y'all don't want to run it with me. Amen, Walt. You know why? Because it requires something. See, the rich man didn't understand what God required of him. See, he should have been giving some of those goods to the poor. He should have been telling folks how God has blessed him. But no, he thought within himself. And isn't that us? You don't have to amen this. I know that I'm on the nerve because this is us. God bless you for what purpose? It ain't for you. If you think it is, don't let God know that. Amen. You might lose everything you have. I want to encourage us. Let's run this race. Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race all run, but one receive the prize. So run that you may obtain it. And every man that strive for mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do this to obtain a corruptible crown. I knew exactly what they're talking about. When I ran cross country, couldn't nobody beat me. And I was always the last one. I missed a couple of y'all. Why? How did I miss you? Because it wasn't about completing it. I want to make sure I ran it and ran it with endurance. Paul here says, when you run the race, everybody do this for this corruptible crown. Verse number 26, Paul says, So therefore I run, not as uncertainty. Why be in this thing and don't make heaven your home? That don't make no sense to me. Why come here if you don't want to be here? Amen, Moses. Huh? Why come looking like sour lemons or dill pickles when you don't want to be here? Yeah. See, I got to hit y'all where reality. If I'm coming to do anything for the Lord, I ought to have some joy. I ought to have some reservation about what he's done for me. And then guess what? That just flows. I'm a firm believer that when you and I, as the body of Christ, show what Jesus said in John 13, 34, and 35, a new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I've loved you. He says, by this what? All men will know that you are my disciples. How? Church, we ought to be the dripping of love. That's right. If anyone ought to show the world what love is, it ought to be you and I. But I'm afraid somebody has robbed us of our love that Jesus has bestowed upon us. Paul says, I therefore run, not as uncertainty. So I fight, not as one that beateth the air. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I don't know about you. I don't do this not to save someone else. I do this because I know that if I can live up to what God requires, someone else might want to do the same thing. Run with certainty. Keep your focus on Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we're passed by with so great cloud of witnesses, the Hebrew writer says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. Let us run the race with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, how can you have joy on the cross? And do you know what joy is? Oh, y'all don't? Let me tell you. J-O-Y, Jesus owns you. Huh? Jesus owns you. And if Jesus owns you, what should you be doing? His will. And not your own. He says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means after I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Church, keep your mind focused. 40 days into the new year. What's your focus on? Is it really on Christ Jesus? Is it on seeking and saving the lost? Jesus said, I'll know you. How? How did Jesus say, I'll know you? By your fruits. And I want to encourage us. We need some fruit trees and we need some pickers. Amen. I don't want somebody to pick if you don't know what type of fruit to pick. Amen. Amen. Church, I want to encourage us. Let us not get caught up in the world. Next point, stay focused on the mission. That's right. I'm learning that when you stay focused on the mission, and you can't focus on the mission unless you know what the mission is. Luke 19, 10, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. John 6, 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 9, verse number 4, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. For the night shall come when no man can work. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, Jesus said, I came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. And to give my life a ransom for many. I'm learning to stay focused on the mission. You got to understand what the mission is. And let me show you something. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1. Luke, as he writes to old Theophilus, he tells Theophilus about Jesus Christ. And I wonder why he said Jesus did it before he taught it. We just the opposite. We want to teach somebody that we don't even do ourselves. The Bible says, the former treaty I wrote unto you, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Church, I want to encourage us. Let's stay focused on mission. The way you stay focused on mission, keep your mind on things above. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The only way we focus on mission is remember that you're brand new creatures because you came up out of this water. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. James chapter 1, verse 25 through 26. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the fatherless widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. See, I'm learning that when you get caught up with the Spirit, the world really doesn't mean that whole lot. The world is a harvest for you and I to go in and help folk out of darkness. And I'm learning, church, that each and every one of us have to understand you're going to give an account if you don't do what he commands us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to everything that's done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Paul says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men, God destroyed the world and 8 people were saved. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and only a few people were saved. I want to encourage us and remind us, church, we have a goal, we have a responsibility. Conclusion, God called the rich man a fool. Wonder what God would call us if we don't do his will. Would it be that we're fools? Or would it be, depart, I never knew you. I want to encourage us as God's people, continue to do the will of the Father. 40 days into the new year. And as I look at time and as I see time really progressing, and you know something? It's interesting how God places things in our lives. When I look at my little grandbaby, but every time I look at her, she seemed like she's 10 pounds bigger than what she was. It looks like. But when I stop and calculate how fast she's growing, and every time I go into the mirror and I cut mine off, and I look at those grays and I see some wrinkles that wasn't there a couple weeks ago, that tells me that God is winding some time down. Whether he's winding my time down or time in general, but it reminds me that as God's people, church, we need to really take serious what we're doing for him. I want to encourage the church here in Apple Valley, stop and look at what God wants us to do. If he can take 2 men and turn the world upside down, can you imagine what he can do if all of us in Apple Valley would just take the time and bring one soul to him? Remember, you are the ambassadors of Christ. You have been set aside, but for one purpose, and that purpose is to seek and save the lost. Hope I've said something this morning to encourage your heart, church. God is on the move. And I want to encourage us, let's get on the move. It'll be a sad day to stand before his judgment seat and hear the words, depart, I don't know. If you're here this morning, those of us that are members of the body of Christ, if you've fallen short, ask God to forgive you and just get busy doing his will. Those of you that are visiting this morning and don't know him as your personal savior, I want to encourage you to stop and ask. Do you believe that he's the Son of God? If you believe that, we'll bury you in water for the remission of your sins. And guess what? He'll add you to the body of Christ and you'll be free from sin and from Satan and his devices until you go out and sin again. But that's one thing I like about him. If you confess your faults, the Bible says he is faithful to forgive us. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.